Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm going to be with you for perhaps the next 75 to 90 minutes. I hope that you all can stay with us tonight because we've got a very deep topic tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a topic that a lot of people have been waiting for. So this tonight's topic is only going to be part one of that show. But before we get started, let's go ahead and welcome our international panel. And let's begin with the Honorable Pastor Castile Rowe. Pastor Rowe, it's always a pleasure to have you on board with us.
It's always great to be on the call, and especially with the Blog Talk Radio, a team where we can just learn from each other. Looking forward to a great discussion tonight.
All right. Thanks so much. We're going to bring in Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I'm so looking forward to tonight's message. And it's almost TGIF, but I'm not going to be in tomorrow night, just FYI. All right, sorry.
All right, great. We always pleasure. It's always a pleasure and honor whenever you are on board with us. Let's go now all the way across to the West Coast, and let's bring in Ms. Sparkle. Sparkle, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We know you're on a different time zone, but we're so glad to have you here with us.
Good evening, Dr. Walker and the co-hosts that are on and our listening audience, and I am looking forward to tonight's discussion and the perspectives that are going to be shared. Can I do a brief announcement also?
Yes.
I want to welcome our listening audience, and on behalf of Dr. Walker and also the Dr. Walker team, we are so grateful and thankful for each and every one of you all tuning in, chiming in to the show. So we want to say again, thank you. We welcome you, and we hope that you are inspired by the topics that are shared and the topics that will be shared tonight. Also, we would like to ask our listening audience and everyone, when you do call in, if you could please mute your phone, and the co-hosts that are calling in, announce yourself. And upon announcing yourself, if you can please so kindly mute yourself as well. And the reason why we say this is because the equipment is so very sensitive. It picks up everything, and it disrupts our recordings. So if everyone can mute their phone, and then if you do have something that you would like to say, unmute your phones, and at the appropriate time, share your comments. After your comments, if you can please mute your phones. Again, we would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you for that public service announcement. Thank you so much, Marco. Let's go ahead now and bring in Mimi. Mimi, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, Dr. Walker and everyone. Glad to be here and looking forward to tonight's topic.
All right. Excellent. And we'll bring in Dima Slayer. Dima Slayer, nice to have you with us.
Good to be here on this every Sunday, Thursday evening, and without further ado, let's get rocking and rolling.
All right, sounds good to me. And Benny from the Block, nice to have you back with us, Benny from the Block.
Hey, how's everybody? It's Benny from the Block, ready to do what we do.
Okay, excellent. And then now, let's see, I think I've covered everybody except this lady really needs no introduction. But first, let me see if I've got a candlestick. Candlestick, do we have you tonight? All right. Well, let me go back to my informer. This lady needs no introduction. She's been a star on the show, just as many of you all are stars as well. But we certainly do miss all of you all when you're not here. And she certainly missed as well. And this star that has me laughing all the time, that's none other than Miss Jay. Miss Jay, welcome back tonight. It's nice to have you.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back with you all. I give you greetings from the great state of Florida, which I was visiting with my Floridian co-host. Had a great time in Florida and glad to be back for another exciting show.
Excellent. Florida does have that sunshine down there. So thank you for that. Okay, so we're going to try something different. Give me just a second. So I got some... all right, can you all hear me now? Can you hear me? I guess you can't. Okay.
Much better.
Much better? All right, good. It's picking up. It's like it's picking up the speakers in here for some reason. All right. So this is much better. All right. Ms. Jay, we're glad that you're back with us and glad that you certainly had a great time in Florida. And all of you all that are joining us now, we're glad that you're back. Okay, now, tonight's topic, how to fall out of love with someone who you should never have fallen in love with in the first place. Mimi, I'm going to start with you. Is that a difficult topic?
Somewhat. It's kind of difficult if you are in that situation. Absolutely.
Why is it difficult?
Well, you should not have never fallen. You just got to watch who you, associate with. If it's a person that you should not be in love with, you just got to know your boundaries, set boundaries.
So what if I fall?
I can't call them it.
No, go ahead. Know your boundaries.
No. I'm just going to set boundaries. Let me think about it. So.
Okay, all right. Miss Jay, let me come over here to you. Miss Jay, is it really hard? I mean, if you're... If I'm attracted to this woman and she happens to be married, I mean, I saw the diamond on her finger, but she was so beautiful, and that's hard to resist. Can I say hello and, like, hey, you want to have tea with me? Is that wrong?
Yeah, that's wrong with you. You should respect the married man. Why would you ask her out and you see that she's married?
See, Miss Jay, the fact is, see, you're not being a man. I know you say thank God. But the fact, yes. So the fact is, when a man sees that beautiful woman, he sees that diamond, even to get a hello from her is like makes his day. So having said that, so when he says, hello, how are you? You know, you've got to be an angel. Huh?
That's a wrong thing, but you cross the boundary and you say, would you like to go and have some tea with me? You cross the boundary. Then that's what's saying you look lovely today. Hello. Nothing wrong with that.
Uh-huh.
But you cross the boundary when you ask her out.
But Ms. Jay, who can resist that? When if she works on your job, you say, hey, you know, she's new on the job. You say, hey, would you like to have, Ms. Jay, we got some lines out there as men that are so smooth that how do you think we get these ladies? How do you think one time you were gotten, Ms. Jay? Did you just get...
You
ain't even heard
my lines yet, Lindsay. You're gonna come up to me, compliment me, thank you, but then you're gonna say, "What you like about?" I'm like, "I'm married." Then you said, "Well, that's fine because who's gonna tell your husband if we go out?" So that's what y'all do. And I have a man to say that to me, and I said, "I will."
So Miss Jay. So you're going to just turn that man down and break his heart just like that?
He means nothing to me. What? I mean, my husband means the world to me. He means nothing.
Okay. So, Miss Jay, but you're going to just, I mean, would you just abandon the man just like that? He's like,
I said, no, dear, thank you very much, but I'm a married woman.
So why are you thanking him very much?
I mean, thank you for the compliment. Thank you for wanting me to have, you know, for thinking that, you know, you want to have a little excuse with me or whatever. But no, thank you, but no thank you. I'll just put that no thank you in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to ask you. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ben from the Block, let's bring you in here. Ben from the Block, it kind of starts, you know, as a man yourself, and I'm sure you are smooth as well. You know, Ben from the Block, I mean, do you find it hard, Ben from the Block, honestly speaking, when there's a beautiful woman around, do you find it hard to contain yourself? Seriously, Ben from the Block?
Well, I'm a very friendly person anyway, so I have a different non-threatening approach. So I speak to whomever comes in my path. And I'm a person with a mindset. I believe that everybody out here needs a hello, just a simple anything. You know, I don't necessarily ask people who I know are married out, but I think there's nothing wrong with just being nice and kind and friendly to people. As a matter of fact, one of my closest and dearest friends is a woman, and she's married, and her husband and I are very good friends. But we do stuff all the time because you don't like doing stuff. But the fact of the matter remains, but the fact of the matter remains is that it's much more comfortable with me doing stuff with her than other people, and particularly her women friends who are always male bashing. So it depends on how you look at the situation. I'm not a threat to him and definitely not a threat to her, but you can still have those types of interactions with people and still maintain a decorum of boundaries. And that's what it comes down. Do you know what your boundaries are? It doesn't matter about the other person. I know what my boundaries are. So.
Okay.
But I do speak to mostly everybody.
All right. So Ben is on the Block. Has there ever been, I mean, if she's not listening, which I don't see any, I mean, I don't know if she is or not, but let's just say she's not listening. And I don't want you to incriminate yourself. Ben's on the Block, honestly, I mean, have there ever been like a slight chance that she's appealing to you?
Well, she's very appealing. She's a very tall, beautiful woman, so she's very appealing. But I value our relationship as friends more so than my fleshly, my mindset, all that kind of stuff. Because once you cross certain barriers, you can't go back. And you have to look at your life from a perspective of what is the benefit of that? There's 50 million other women out here who are single, who are equally as beautiful, equally as available. So why would I compromise my incredible relationship with her and her husband for a moment of what my mind said or a moment of what my body said? I'm in control of my mind and I'm in control of my body. And I get to choose. I get to say yes. I get to say no. And so that's the principle that I stand on, because at some point I will have the same thing that she has. And I want to have the equal respect for my spouse as I am giving to somebody else.
Well, you certainly welcome that. Let's go here now. We're going to, do we have Candlestick on with us tonight?
Good evening, everyone.
All right, glad to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. All right, tonight we're going to get to the story in just about a minute and a half. Let me go to Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, how do you fall out with someone who you should never have fallen in love with in the first place? So here it is, the Jack and Jill. He knew she was married, but he just couldn't resist. And Jill wasn't happily married. And so she gave him her number. And then it just all chaos breaks out later. Should she have, who was wrong, Jack or Jill, or Jack and Jill going up the hill?
Going up the hill. I think when you're married, you sort of have some kind of integrity or some kind of morals, which, you know, but if that's not the case, then why you get married? I mean, I don't understand it. I know if I was ever to be married, I wouldn't put myself in a precarious situation to make your mind go the other way. You know, you got to always have more. I think you got to always have more. I was taught to have more than, I think I got taught by one or two of the best people that was on earth, you know, my mom and my dad, and they never put themselves in a situation like that. But, I mean, I always do like when I was, how I grew up, you know, I got a lot of morals and integrity, and I'm going to keep on being like that because I don't run into problems like that. And the as far as being in love, it is being in love with the wrong person, you know. You try to do people right, and you give your all to them. And, you know, it hurts me when you get betrayed and things of that nature, you know. So it's very hard to be in love with somebody and try to get out of love with a person.
Mm-hmm. So, Nina said, let me ask you just quickly here, and you can always pass if you'd like to. And then we're going to have Ms. Gay read the disclaimer. Demon Slayer, has that ever happened to you in your life that you fell in love with somebody that you should not have fallen in love with in the first place?
But you just got to keep moving on, man. You get life don't stop. Like my dad always said, you got to keep going. So there's always somebody out there that's good for you.
So is there any, how did you get over that?
God, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna lie, I'll be very transparent tonight. And I had visions of trying to murder her, you know, and to be real about it, you know. I had a lot of things that was on my mind. I was really in love. It really hurt me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had to pray, I had to meditate, I had to do research on demons and stuff like that. And you know, it still hurts up to this day. But the more I meditate, that's why I got to be in Christ all the time. So, you know, a day or two without being with God, those feelings come back, to be honest with you. So it's very hard when you pour yourself into a person and they betray you.
Okay. And I'm certainly sorry that happened to you. And if you ever...
That's a good thing that happened to you. Because out of a bad thing, a good thing happened. I got closer to God.
Okay. Well, that part is good. But if you... I'm so glad that you didn't take matters into your own hand to retaliate on an issue. And if you ever need somebody to talk to, you can just wake me up at any time, and I'll be happy to talk to you. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. A, would you go ahead and give us a disclaimer, please?
Okay. Dr. Jackie Walker, Inc. and Dr. Jackie Walker Show was to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jackie Walker Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely opinions of Dr. Jackie Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice, and should not be taken as such. The show intent is not to push in denominations, religions, or traditions, but to share knowledge and experiences with no offensive or negative tone. We are here solely to address tonight's topic based on our own individual subjective opinion, and that opinion does not make the individual less than a believer. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only, and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and let's enjoy the program tonight.
All right. Can you all hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
All right, great. Okay. Let me go to Candlestick. Candlestick, I want to ask you very quickly here because we got to go fast. The hour is passing us, and then I'm going to go to the story. Candlestick, do you find that, have you ever fallen in love with someone who you should never have fallen in love with in the first place?
I wasn't sure I fell in love with someone, but I have been very emotionally attached to someone I was not supposed to be.
Okay, and how did that go for you? I mean, how did that happen, if you don't mind us telling?
It happened because I allowed it to happen. I stepped out of my own comfort zone or what I knew to be true or to be right because I felt like I was not being fulfilled at home. And it really turned out to be really bad after the fact.
Oh, I'm sorry that didn't happen to you.
Well, I'm almost like Demon Slayer. It turned out to be really bad, but I thank God that it happened the way that it did. Because it made me open up my eyes and to realize what a blessing I have in front of me and that God didn't allow that to be destroyed
right,
as a result of my ignorance or whatever.
But even in those feelings that we have, and I'm asking a question here, those feelings that we have, is it possible that even though things may turn out, they're wrong for us to get into it and start it, but then it seems like once you cross that line and you get over there and it's like, oh, man, I can't be without this woman. I can't be without this man. So even when it goes ugly, aren't the feelings still there, Candlestick?
No, because I don't know the lines you're talking about crossing. I didn't cross them being intimate with the person,
right.
So I can't speak up for that.
Okay.
And, but right. I wrestled with, I guess it's my feeling, if they were really real or...
Okay, so Candlestick, in your mind, I'm just asking this question because I want to make a point here. In your mind, did you desire this other individual? In your mind, though you were not intimate, but in your mind, did you desire them?
Yes.
So when you say that that's crossing the line, because that's lust. Isn't lust a sin? I'm just asking a question. I'm not judging you, of course, anything.
No, you're right, because I didn't even think about that. I was just, you're absolutely right. Absolutely.
So there we have it. So tonight we're talking about how to fall out of love. So with that, I mean, Candlestick, without you incriminating yourself, would you say then that, let's say whenever this happened some time ago, did you think subsequently about the person days later, weeks later, and so forth and so on?
I did, but I thought about them with anger mm-hmm. and betrayal and disgust, and it's only because I trusted this person's conversation with me that we were having, and to find out that this person was always lying to me, lying, and I was such a fool to myself that I was that gullible. I didn't think that I would fall for those lies. And so I was very angry at him, very angry at myself, very embarrassed. I went through a whole lot of emotional trauma because I was even going to see a counselor for it.
Well, I'm certainly sorry that happened to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tonight's topic, and this is only part one, you all, this is a very deep topic. If it's never happened to you, I mean, be grateful. I mean, and certainly we're not judging anyone on this. We're going to get to the story right about now. They're telling us to go ahead with the story. Tonight's characters are, we got three of them. Okay, thank you. Unique, Vince, and Wanda. And this is only part one. Vince has been married to Unique for over 12 years. They have three children. Their marriage is average, but lately has experienced serious repercussions because the laws of karma have kicked in. In this case, what goes around comes around. Now, over 14 years ago, Unique was married to someone else. She worked on the job with Vince, who at the time was also married and had several other women as a playboy and drug dealer. Unique was in a very good marriage with a great husband who loved her very much. Unfortunately, she was lured into the web of Vince and his harem of women and deceit. Before her divorce, she became pregnant with Vince's child in anticipation that he would give up his wife and the other women for her. As the story goes, Unique left her husband to get more involved with Vince and be his mistress, seeing him whenever he was available. Their affair lasted for several years until Unique wanted more. So Vince did leave his wife and marry Unique a year later, partially due to the birth of his firstborn, a little girl. As the years passed, Vince never gave up being a playboy, which caused Unique a great deal of frustration. Vince continued selling his drugs on the side of his job, which is what lured most of the women into his web because he could provide them with a lot of great material things. Recently, Vince told Unique that he was filing for divorce because he had met someone else by the name of Wanda. Wanda was a very attractive woman and about 10 years younger than Unique. Wanda was very much caught up into the lifestyle event. She was very much caught up into that lifestyle. And it gets worse. And his smoothness and charm with her. Wanda was different than a lot of the women that Vince had been accustomed to being with in his harem. She was a church-going woman who believed in God and wanted very much to do the right things in life. Vince met her through a mutual friend, and they immediately became attracted to each other, especially when Vince knew she was involved in the church. He pretended to be a saint. Poor guy. This really lured her into her web, lured her into the web of lies and deceit. Okay? Unfortunately, against her desires to do the right thing, she became pregnant within 3 months of their being together, and that's when she found out most things about Vince, including his drug business and a strange marriage to Unique, whom the papers had not dried in their divorce proceedings. Now Wanda is terribly heartbroken because she realized that she should not have fallen in love with a man whom she knew very little about, even though he was very nice to her, and she was not into material possessions. With the baby soon coming and her desire to fall out of love with him and hopes that he would become a changed man to better himself, she is convinced without a shadow of a doubt that she has to make great strides and falling out of a love with him. But for now, she does not have a clue on how to fall out of love with a man whom she should never have fallen in love with in the first place. Ms. G, I want to go to you first tonight and ask this question. Do you really think that a man or woman can be that luring to cause someone to fall in love with them where they should not have done so?
I don't think she actually fell in love with what he could do and the way he lived. And that's a different type of love. You know, she don't really love him. But just the things, please her with the things they can do. And to fall out of love with him, it'll be hard because she has to give up a lot of those material things, and that's going to be the hard part, not losing him, because she knows that he's no good. So, you know, when you say fall in love, like I said, to me it was just a mistake to get women. They really didn't love them. They just loved what they could do for them. That's basically what happened.
Okay. I'm going to have to stand by. Let me go here. Sparkles. We know, Sparkles, that you wouldn't be caught up into material things, but do you think that a woman could be, and all these stories are inspired by true stories, of course you are, do you think that a woman could really be caught up to a man with his luring smoothness?
Yeah, I think that you can, yeah.
Okay, so, did Wanda, this is a church-going woman, and she, I'm not judging her, of course. You know, she just got caught up into his lies. And you think it's easy for her to just get over this man just like that? And she know he has all these women.
No, it's not going to be easy.
Okay. What advice would you have given someone like that?
Honestly, I really don't know. That is so I really honestly don't know what I would say to someone like that. Go slow, be careful, and whatever relationship that you get yourself involved with, entangled with. So.
Has that ever happened to you, Sparkles? I mean, where you were lured into a web, and it should have been, it was with someone that you know you should not have gotten involved with?
No.
Okay. Well, great. Minnie, let me bring you over here. Darren D, we're going to come to you next in just a moment. We've got to go fast for you all. Minnie, I want to ask you, Minnie, what do you think this story, I mean, this story here, you talk about Unique and Vince. Unique already married, and she lets this man lure her in. And then she gets pregnant, of course, from him, and then has a little girl. And then, you know, sometime later, he meets another woman. I mean, why would Unique think that if he got with her when she's pregnant, that he's going to stay with her? Help me understand that.
Thought that, but you didn't say, was Vince married as well?
Was Vince? No, Vince was a matter of time. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, he was. Vince was married. Yeah, he divorced his wife.
Okay, I understand part. Well, she could have, like you said, karma. It came back. So the same way she got him, that's the way she lost him.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Do you feel sorry for, you didn't tell, I mean, woman to woman?
I feel sorry for what she allowed herself to be in that situation, and she could have prevented it if she would have just, like, set boundaries and not being so materialistic, because, you know, you may have the material goods, but, that's, you know, they can go away just as fast as they come. So you can't be material just because they can do something for you. That doesn't mean anything. Just be able to do things for yourself so you don't have to depend on no man to do anything for you.
Okay, so meaning, I mean, this question at the top of the hour, we asked you a question that you said let you think about it and you'll come back to it. So we're going to go back to that along the lines of that question and ask, is it really, you think you can just cut that love off, you know, even when you fall in love? And you're in love now. You're seriously in love now. And do you think that even when you try to break it off, do you think it's that easy to really let it go?
It's not. I mean, that's over time. It will dissipate. But you just have to pray and do other things. Make yourself busy other ways. And so you don't have to think about that particular person. And, you know, establish good friendships with other people, not just men, but women and men. Stay busy, because that way you don't have that idle time to think about it. Because when you have idle time, that's exactly where your mind is going to go. So you have to purposely fix your mind on what's pleasing, what's good, and not that relationships that literally can destroy you if you just sit in that. You don't want it to destroy you. You just got to think about, you know, was it pleasing to God? No. But with God, you can get over it. But you have to stay in your prayer closet at this point, because it could overwhelm you if you're not purposely trying to fall out of the world versus stay in it.
Okay, so your question comes down. I mean, the Bible tells us that some things come by prayer and supplication, fasting and supplication. So you're telling me then that it is, that love can be an addictive behavior. Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Okay, love can be an addictive behavior. Don't just take my word for it. Look it up, you all. And with that, it's just like we have, you know, there are certain parts of the brain that when you fall in love, this is the feel-good stage or the feel-good state of mind. That mind is so powerful. And so it controls, it got the neurons in there that controls everything. That's the nerve center. And all of a sudden now you're in love. This is like, oh, that's that joyful feeling. That's melancholy. That Eros love, and it's like you can't be without this person. And so now, after the mind has demonstrated all of that and acted on all of that, Nini, is it really possible through just being somewhere without that person, even though it was a wrong relationship, that you could just stop it? Remember, the word addictive is in there. And many of us have never experienced dealing with drug addicts. I was in charge of one of the programs, and it taught me so much that you can't really judge these people, because there's something that takes over, and that's that drug that's addicted to their mind. You lose your family, you lose everything. But love, I wouldn't necessarily give it the analogy of that, perhaps, but it is also addictive. It's addictive. So, Mimi, can you really walk away from that? Can you really walk away from it?
to say yes. We can walk away from it. With prayer, counseling, and surrounding yourself with people that is, you know, praying with you and for you and helping you get through it. Absolutely.
All right, you're going to have to stand by. Darren D, I want to bring you in here. We're going to go faster now, you all. Darren D, I want to bring you in here. Darren D, have you ever fallen in love with somebody that you shouldn't have fallen in love with in the first place? And your mind goes back for some reason, even in a dream when you weren't even thinking about the person. That person comes in your dream.
This is kind of a warp thing, but my ex-husband, because we got here so young, and high school sweetheart, we moved out away from home, you know, that kind of thing, we got married. But when, you know, as we grew up, we were growing apart, and of course, he's the one who ran off and had the affair, but I was still so in love with him. So, yes, it was totally disturbing to my soul, my mind, my peace. It should be a long time, and as a matter of fact, I mean, I think our whole breakup is what brought me closer to Jesus, because it's the only thing I could do is just lay it in God's hands to allow him to teach me that I had to forgive him in order to release him from my mind, the addictive behavior. Of course, you know, I was still addicted to him for the longest time because I was dependent on him, you know. We were children and then we grew into adults and he was just the main stable of my life. And to have him run off with another woman was very disturbing, you know. So they made me feel so less and kind of dumbfounded at the end. It was like you didn't know what to hit you at the end, but that's the only thing I can think of to try to fall out of love with somebody, you know. So it took me years to just forgive the whole situation in order for me to relax and just move on and not think about it. So that's where I stand on it.
All right. Okay, we're going to answer the standby. We've got a number of comments that are coming to the studio. But let's go to our statistician first and get some stats on tonight's topic, how to fall in love, how to fall out of love with someone whom you should never have fallen in love with in the first place. All right, we bring in Mimi for some stats.
Okay. Well, again, good evening, everyone. I did look at some statistics on it's called BetterUp.com. If you wish to go to that website, it's www.betterup.com. And they gave 10 tips for letting go of someone that you care for. And the first point was put yourself first, feeling like you're letting someone down or hurting someone you care about. Can be challenging. So first, you need to let yourself grieve, seek out support, stay busy, forgive that person, learn from your mistakes, and consider cutting contact with them all the way, and find a happy place for you. You know, so if you're happy, you can try to get rid of that bondage of that relationship. And then with Helpline.com, their perspective was acknowledge the truth of the situation, identify relationship needing or good deals, accept what love means to you, and look forward towards the future, and don't keep your mind that in that situation. Prioritize the relationship to make sure you don't get back into that same rut. And spend time with yourself. Learn how to love yourself, and that way you don't have to depend on anyone loving you to that extent. And give yourself some space, and also understand that it takes some time to get over it and seek counseling. And then I looked at 4.0, and it was saying falling out of love can be a complex process, especially when it involves realizing that your initial connection may not have been a healthy situation or suitable for you. It often involves introspective, setting boundaries, focusing on personal growth for yourself and caring for yourself, seeking support through family, friends, therapists can be helpful in navigating these feelings, but you're going to have these feelings of ups and downs. And remember that just be patient with yourself because it's going to take some time actually to move forward. And that is what I looked at.
All right. Thank you for that information. And I didn't hear you mention anything about getting some professional health therapy. Did I miss that? You did mention that. Okay. I think that's one of the most important areas is having someone to talk to, a professional, and then if you can also find a friend that you can talk to, that you can confide in, if you can confide in that person. Are we going to ask them? We've got a number of comments that are coming into the studio. How to fall out of love with someone you should have never fallen in love with in the first place. Let's go here. Sparkles, this first comment we're going to give to you. This part is written in. We got a number of them tonight, you all. For some reason, this is only part one of our show. We can find these comments now. Okay. Yes, here they are. It's almost a book of them. This email, she writes in. She says, fall in love with the wrong person. I met a glamorous man about a year ago whom I fell madly in love with. Unfortunately, he was not all that I thought he was. I found out recently before our breakup that he was deeply involved in drug activity, and that's how he got his money. He led me to believe that his work at a warehouse was genuine. I had suspicions all along because of his extravagant lifestyle for a man working at a warehouse. Now I find it hard to let him go because I'm really crazy about him and the lifestyle he has afforded me, that things that I've never had, very similar to tonight's show. So he's afforded me with so much luxury that I'm really in love with him and the lifestyle. Michelle, I'm going to go to you first on this one here. No, I gave someone the first one. Who was that call on? Sparkles. Yeah, Sparkles. What do you think about that? She likes that lifestyle, and she loves him too.
I would say that she's caught up in the lifestyle. My thoughts, the lifestyle and what he can provide her and all that stuff like that. She's not looking at the bigger picture.
But isn't that hard to, if you haven't had certain things or been experienced certain things, and now you have this nice lifestyle for any of us. I mean, let's think that maybe the maturity that we have now, we didn't always have this maturity. I mean, especially growing up, I grew up poor. So then when you see another lifestyle, you say, hey, I would like to have a good lifestyle like that. So is it fair to say that if she didn't grow up and she wasn't accustomed to these things, can we really judge her because this person's been nice to her and lured her in, and it's a nice lifestyle. So, Sparkles, can we really?
We can't judge her. No.
Yeah, so can we blame her even?
No, we can't. Mm-mm.
Okay, we're going to actually stand by. Miss Jay, we're not the maturity that level where we are now. Perhaps it wasn't that way 40, 50 years ago. I'm not trying to put out people's ages out there. I know, Miss Jay, you're still in your 20s. But okay, so Miss Jay, the question becomes, can we really blame her? I mean, yes, she fell in love, and this was a man who could take her to a different level. So, I mean, what do you say to this?
No, you know, you can't blame her because she saw these flags. She saw the type of person you were. She saw the lifestyle. She loved it. If that's something that you love too, and you find somebody that can do it for you, and that's what you want, go for it. And then if you get hurt in the process, that's on you. You know. So I'm sure a person like that probably get on that love right quick because they went into it knowing that, hey, I'm really not loving him. I'm loving his material things and what he can do. And she gonna love him to the end for her, you know.
Okay.
And once it ends, she'll just find another one, probably.
All right, we're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Let's go here. Ben from the block, I want to bring you in here with this next comment. This comment comes in from a lady here. No, from a man. He says, this male writes in, he says, I've been there and done that with two married women at different times, fall in love with both of them when I should not have fallen in love with them in the first place. The problem is I'm still very much in love with them both and now on the verge of getting married myself to someone else whom I'm not really in love with. Both these women are threatening to leave their husbands for me. Wow. I'm embarrassed by my lies to them. Any advice from your team, Dr. Walker, would be greatly appreciated. Ben from Block, I mean, these women are talking about two of them to leave their husbands for him, and he's about to get married to somebody else. Ben from Block, what would you tell him? He wants advice from the team.
I would say, you know, you step back from him a little bit and do a bigger perspective on who he is. I don't think he loves himself, and therefore he's incapable of loving anybody else. He finds his predatory behavior by luring these women in, deceiving them, and luring them with a broken spirit about what they're looking for in the next man. So he's literally spreading discord with women, and he's leaving them broken, and somebody else will have to come through that. He is really like a virus right now, and I would just highly suggest that he sits down, talk to somebody, get some help, get a vaccine to help calm him down and neutralize the negative spirit that he has in him, because he's spreading a very negative event to people, making their minds confused, and they're missing out on something that might be much, much greater than he is. He's on an adventure running to what he's been sold, and it's not going to be good.
Well, so Ben from the block, would you say, and this is just a question here, would you say King Solomon had issues because he had all these women? Would you say he was messed up, or was he really the wisest man that ever lived?
No, that was a different situation. So we got the assumed they were kind of other nations or other entities, and that was a part of the package, is that women are of the leadership of the king for whatever country they come. He now took possession of those women. So it wasn't that he was out there just going and getting all kinds of work. What got him into trouble was he started intertwining with those pagan women. That's really what got him in trouble. And so that took him to another state of being. And this is what's happening with this gentleman here. He is actually creating a negative state of mindset for these women. And listen, I don't really have an issue with men and women and whatever, but if you are consciously lying to someone and you're causing them to break up their home, and you're dividing them from the people that they have chosen to fall in love with, you obviously keep going from person to person. You don't love nobody, yourself, anybody else. But you're breaking up other people's homes and lives that could potentially be happy later on down the line. And then you're just going to end up falling off. You probably end up doing something crazy to yourself. Because what happens after a while is, once a man wears himself out, he ain't no good to nobody. And then what's he going to do? His mind is still about doing what he's doing, but he physically can't perform anymore. And somebody's going to say, what are you? What are you? You can't look at. Now he is mentally broken, which means that he's going to put even more people. So he's becoming a danger and a threat to himself and other people. And no tolerance of it. But we really have to know who we are. We really, really have to know who we are.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Missy, I want to bring you here because he's looking for advice from the team. I mean, here's, you know, I mean, this guy got two women threatening to leave their husbands for him. He says he's embarrassed by the lies that he told them, and he wants advice from the team. I mean, do you feel a little sorry for him, Missy?
Okay, since he's feeling bad, why don't you just tell those ladies, you know, I've been lying to y'all, you know, don't, you know, I don't want y'all to leave that to do it for. I probably won't work out for you. He needs to stand up and say, if he's feeling that bad, you know, why he won't just tell him? And why would he let them lead him on the norm that he's not going to do anything with? So if I say to him, if you're any kind of man, I know you've done these ladies wrong, but you need to stand up and let them know that, hey, don't leave something that you have that's good for me. Which I know you ain't going to do that, but I'm just...
Poor guy. Great day. Do you feel sorry for him a little bit, Miss Jane?
For him?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I was just wondering.
I mean, one, but you got to have two. You ever got a server somewhere.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, this next comment for you. Demon Slayer, are you there? Okay, this female writes in, she says, getting involved with the wrong person. I got involved with a man prior to my husband going away for 6 weeks. Oh, my goodness. I got involved with a man prior to my husband going away for 6 weeks of training for a new job. I knew I should not have fallen in love with him because he was also married. I got pregnant from him, and immediately when I found out, I flew up there where my husband was so I could be intimate with him so that he would eventually think it was his baby. I don't think men are that smart to figure out the time frame. It worked out for me because the baby is 2 years old now, and my husband thinks it's his child, and I'm still seeing the other man. My advice to anyone is, it's never worth it. I really love this other man more than I love my husband, but I have security with my husband. Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, that almost brings me to tears, Demon Slayer. What do you think?
I think you see a lot of women, guys, they look at the security part of the other thing, and they try to have sex with their mate. And the thing about it is that with the man, the trust can be, I mean, love can be blessed sometimes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Hey, she come out here to make love to me, then like, I'm out of somewhere else. You know, then all of a sudden, you know, he gets
He said that he's asking that he couldn't have another chance.
Yeah.
Belrun's tribe, he had a good woman. But yet still he thought that he could do, you know, have his cake and eat it too, and she was going to always, always be there. So he has made his bed, so it's time for him to lie in it, and he has to grow up. It was, and he cannot continue to be that way.
But what if he changes, Candlestick, and, you know, this time he's for real? Can he get like a third or fourth or fifth chance?
With somebody else. But not with me. If I was with wife, I would, you know, I would be grateful. I'm like, Gloria, thank you that he's changing and he's grown up and he's seen the error of his ways. But I will not entertain that man again as far as being married to him or dating him. No.
But what about for better or for worse? And that happens to be the worst. I mean, can you like give me?
It's the worst.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, he says you're a straight shooter, which I agree with him. What do you think? He wants to, you know, he messed up, and he wants to get maybe a third or fourth or fifth chance. Demon Slayer, what do you tell him? He's asking for you.
I'm looking at it as the role of the reverse, you know. I mean, if it was me and she was playing by another man, no, ain't no way I would give another check and never trust that woman again. You know what I mean? I tell her just go back and lay down and have another baby by the day.
But I mean, so.
Now, how do you trust somebody? How do you trust somebody had a baby, let another man nut in you and have a baby body? I'm not. Come on, bro.
So.
Come on, man. Let's keep it. I mean, that's how I can see that. Oh, hey, okay, I'm sorry about being like that, but okay, orgasm or whatever in you. I mean, you took the time that you could have been with me. So take that time and be in some more.
Okay, but
I'm sorry about being so blunt and everything,
yeah.
But that's what happened.
But he wants your advice.
And a lustful love, and had a baby by another guy.
But he's the one that called. He's the one. He's the problem. He's the one that got. He was married. He went out on his wife.
I know, but I'm looking at the road bridge. Okay, from the man's point of view, and the woman. No, I wouldn't take him back. Well, how you gonna take a man back and he didn't have sex with another woman? Had a baby by. He could have used the condom. He
didn't have
to take the time to put a condom on.
He says you're a straight shooter, Demon Slayer, and there's no doubt about that. Let me go here to Sparkles with this next comment. This female, she writes in, she says, I can seriously relate to this story tonight because the same thing happened to me. I was involved with a drug dealer and ended up losing all my material possessions as well as my husband and three children because when my husband found out, he filed for divorce and custody of our children. The drug dealer eventually went to jail and had to move in reluctantly with my family. My children are growing up without me in a different state with my ex-husband's new wife. I should never have fallen in love with that man, but he gave me nice gifts that my husband could not afford to do. I mean, what do you say to that?
A sad situation and all that stuff. She lost her children and all that stuff. Over black for what? Materialistic things? A man that she fell in love with, shady character, and all of the activities that he was doing. And then at the end, she has nothing.
Wow.
Life possession of her children, right?
Right.
She doesn't even have them.
All right, we're going to ask you this.
Life lessons. They're tough, but they're life lessons.
Life lessons. All right, we're going to stand by. Actually, stand by. Darren Dee, I want to bring you in here. Darren Dee, I mean, she lost everything. I mean, what can she possibly do at this point? I mean, where there's life, there's hope. Do you think she should, even though her husband is married again to someone else, I mean, you know, everybody needs love. What do you think she should do? The drug dealer's gone to jail now.
She just needs to get herself together and maybe try to at least have a relationship with her children. Show that, you know, she's cleaned up and she's not into that lifestyle anymore. It's just a shame that she's lost her children and her children were probably feeling rejected. I mean, it's just the whole web of everything going on. It's what a mess. I can't really come up with anything intelligent but to get her life together and at least try to have a relationship with her children.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Mimi, I want to bring you in here. Mimi, tonight's topic is I mean, you see all of the mess that goes on with falling in love with somebody who you should never have fallen in love with the first place. Do you really think that people know that they're falling in love with the wrong person, the red flags? Do you really think that people are aware of that?
Okay, so when I understand,
I'm, see, I want to bring you in here. Somebody say, if you know somebody's married, that right there. But what about sometimes men lie? They're not going to tell you that they're married. They just won't tell you the truth. They won't even tell you that they're seeing someone. So all of a sudden now 3 months go by. How will you know if they're involved? Especially if they tell you they live somewhere else. Goes home and he tells his wife, you know, I met, you know, we got a new lady on the job. She's real nice. And you're telling your wife that. Is that offensive to your wife? Michelle, I want to stay with you for a second.
No, I don't think so. You know, so yeah, I had this lady. She kind of helped me in the store. I didn't know what to do. She was really nice. Okay, wonderful.
Okay. So would you go home and see yourself telling your husband, oh, this guy, he was kind of cute. He, you know, he helped me put some air in my car. Okay.
So don't secure my, secure my marriage and vice versa. Yeah, he's
been
doing it because he knows that I don't know how to do it. So.
All right. We're going to ask you standby. So, Demon Slayer, if your lady comes home and she says, this nice guy, he helped put the water in the car for me. You know, he was a nice guy. He was kind of, you know, he reminded me of Denzel Washington. He was a good-looking guy. Demon Slayer, would that bother you?
No, it wouldn't bother me because I said, well, I was at the grocery store and a beautiful woman here. They pick out some groceries.
I see. So you would do the tip for that thing. Is that what you're saying?
I do the psychology part.
Okay. All right. We're going
to
ask you.
You're trying to run psychology on me. I'm going to run it back on you.
Right. I got you. So Demon Slayer, but would that have really happened, or you would make that up to make her feel a certain way that you feel?
I can make it up to see how she's going to react to it.
Mm-hmm. So, in essence, would you say, is it fair to say that would bother you that she came home and told you a good-looking guy helped her put some water in the car or to put air in her tire?
Sure. Yeah, I do say, somebody down here, but you ain't got to go through all these good-looking defenses and all that.
My fiance,
okay, all right. I understand. Oh, by the way, you all, they're telling us we can go to 8:30 if you all have to leave. We certainly understand because we still got a lot to cover, and we only got about 13 minutes to go. No, about 13 minutes to go if you all want to stay with us.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right, so here we go. Who wants to close us out tonight? Who would like to close us out tonight in the next on how to fall out of love with somebody that you should never have fallen out with in the first place?
I would like to hear Benny from the block.
Benny from the block, are you there? Would you like to close us out in a little while?
All right.
Then we'll stand by. We'll give you time to prepare your thoughts. Let's go with this next one here. Let's go here. Mimi, let me bring you in here. You and Darren Didi. And the rest of you all are going to ask to stand by as well. Let's start with Mimi and Darren Didi for this comment. This male, he says, fall in love with the wrong person that you should never fall in love with. In my opinion, there's nothing wrong with being a drug dealer because I worked hard building my business in drugs, and I don't feel I forced anything on anyone. I simply gave them what they wanted for a price. I consider it to be an honest job. My point is I fell in love with this business and should not have, but it's hard to change because I have created such a lovely lifestyle. So it's not just people you should not fall in love with, but it can also be a job or career that could cause you to do wrong things. I thought I should share this story hoping someone else would not get caught up like I did. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Mimi. He's not just talking about another person. Now he's talking about the drugs. And I mean, and he says, don't hate him, hate the game. Mimi, what do you say?
Well, he deserves everything he gets jailed because drugs is killing people out on the street. You know, I would hate the game and the player.
Wow. But he did make a point here, and he was saying, it doesn't have to be another person. It could be a job. You fell in love with a job that you shouldn't have had in the first place. You know, not just a person.
I mean, unless he's a pharmaceutical rep. If he's not a pharmaceutical rep, then he don't need to be so bad.
I see. No, I get it. I get that fully. Darren Didi, I want to bring you in here. What are your thoughts on this here? He said, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, well, I'm not looking at it as a drug dealer, but I know a lot of people who choose to work, $75 a week and they stay raising their family. Before you know it, money has gone by, their children have graduated from college just looking at it a different way. No, I'm not into the drug dealers.
Right.
But I see it happening all the time, you know, that before you know it, then he goes retire and he dies 3 months later. You know, I think it's just, it's a shame that people have to focus on love in different avenues.
Yeah, that is terrible. Pastor Rolly, are you there? I know you were in listening mode. All right, perhaps he's still in listening mode. Let's go here now to...
No, I hear
that. I hear it on mute. Okay. Yeah. So, Pastor Rowe, I mean, here it is. We're talking tonight, seriously, about falling out of love with someone who you should never have fallen in love with in the first place. So, I mean, isn't it possible that any human being can be vulnerable to do something that we should not have done? I mean, we go back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve, you know, partook of the fruit when they should never have done it. And then we wouldn't all be in this mess. So do we have any right to think other people shouldn't do what they're doing or because they got caught up? You know, can we continuously blame Adam and Eve for all of our mess? Or at some point, it comes to us, down to us, continuing the mess.
Well, you know, we come up with various examples. You know, you started with the Garden of Eden, you know what I mean? You know, hindsight is, how they say, it's 20-20, you know? Falling in love, you know, what we think of what David and Bathsheba, you know? I mean, he was looking through the window and saw this pretty lady, you know, naked or whatever, you know, and his mind got messed up, you know. And but long story short, he did wrong, but he saw the error of his ways and he corrected. And, you know, it was sad even in scripture. He was a man after God's own heart because he asked for forgiveness. You know, the error is human, the forgiveness divine, you know. But it's according to a person's faith. You know, we can, you know, say scripture and this, that, and the other. But until we actually go through things, you know. And I love the comments that, you know, David and Steele, you know, Sister Jay and Demon Spade and some of the others, you know. Barry, you got to be tough in some cases. You know, but you got to listen to that small voice and make a decision based upon that.
All right, so we're going to certainly ask you.
Dr. Walker, can I ask you something, Dr. Walker?
Yes, sir.
I didn't say about David and Bathsheba. Okay, he got her husband killed, and now after that he asked for forgiveness. I mean, but how can you? Okay, you really error your ways, right? After you done did what you've done, but how did that make it right for the guy that lost his life?
Oh, the
How do you make it right? Okay, you let people do dirt. They say, okay, you do dirt, but you know what you're doing when you're doing it. But when it manifests and then you find out that you're wrong, then you would say, okay, God, okay, can you forgive me? I can't even make it right by that guy. He done lost his life.
That's a very, very good point.
That's a good point, Demon Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
Very good point.
That's a very good point. Bastro, you want to speak to that? I'll stand by. Hope that his relationship with God was of such that, you know, he's saved. But David did not have it easy. David did not have it easy because that son that he had wanted to kill him. Was that Absalom or the son that he had? Anybody recall that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he wanted to, candlestick, was that Anyone, was that Absalom?
Yes.
Oh, Absalom, my son. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was, but he paid for, you know, what happened.
Yeah, the consequences of what he did. I mean, it was, if you go back and read Psalm, I think it's in Psalm, and I just read that maybe a month ago. David had a rough experience, He, several people wanted to kill him. And so his consequences, he had a repenting, from my research, he had a repenting heart. And that's what I think God, we can never know what God is thinking about because his thoughts are so far from ours. But the call of a man after his own heart had me do some in-depth research to say, well, why would this man, a man who puts another a woman's husband on the front line that was in his command so that he could intentionally be killed so that he could get the woman. And, I mean, he went on to do so many things that I'm like, wow. But, you know, some things I still don't understand. Benny from Block, go ahead.
We have to look at that from a whole different perspective. See, God had a divine assignment for David, and that assignment was to complete the task that God had him to do. That task was to do all the things he instructed David to do. And a lot of times we look at it from a perspective of our own humanistic shortfalls and shortcomings, but the real fact is, when God is giving you the assignment, it doesn't matter how you do it and what you go about, you deviate. We all do that. We all have those moments where we're not in the will of God, but our assignment has not changed because God says, I have commanded you to do a certain thing. He's done it over and over and over again. Look at Moses. Look at Abraham. They are all deviated from the original plan that God had them to do, but the plan of God still goes forward, and he chooses people to do the work that he's already ordained to do. And because they do other things, like David, he kills a man, like Abraham had another baby from his wife, told him, like Moses, well, you know, I can't speak, I can't do this, and he hit the rock, he was disobedient. Disobedience does not deviate us from our sent assignment. We are all sent by God to do a thing here on the earth. Our assignment doesn't change because we're disobedient. Our assignment doesn't change because we're not following the will of God. He will somehow direct us in a path that gets us to do the assignment that we have to do. If we look back over our lives and look at all the stuff that we've done and say, how did I get through that? We understand that God had a universal plan for our lives, and that is why we cannot hold each other in the same context of judgment like God does. God doesn't judge us based on some of our actions because he's a forgiving God, and he cannot lie when he tells us what he's doing. Therefore, we're going to operate in the will of God. Therefore, that same man that David had to heal will be in heaven, and so will David, and they will be rejoicing each other because God says, what I have deigned, let no man touch or put us, because it is God's will, not our will.
Okay, so let me just throw this in. Interesting point. So then, is it fair to say that if someone, say you're married, and they sleep with your wife, and they didn't mean for it, it was just something, it just happened, then could you find in your heart to just forgive them and not want to shoot them?
Are you willing to sacrifice your salvation, which is living life in heaven for a period of time until you come back here? Are you willing to sacrifice that because of one issue with one other person that needs love and grace and mercy too, just like you? I'm not willing to do that.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going to forgive them because you want to know the best way to not make it into heaven? Live without forgiveness.
Mm.
And see how far that will get you.
So, also, there's other question here. He certainly passed on it. Just a question here for our listening audience. So, because you talk about assignments, and I certainly believe in assignments as well. So, the pastor, say he's a male pastor, and you know him to be sleeping with some of the married women in there and the deaconesses. So could you continue to, even though you feel his message is great from heaven, could you still serve under that minister? Just a question. Because that's his calling, that's his time.
Let me say this. When you know right from wrong, and you know someone is doing wrong, you have an obligation to go to that man and say, hey, look, brother, I got out with you because you're doing something that's not right, that is wrong, and I'm supposed to address that. See, we forget the fact that God says, yeah, you have a right to go
inside the church, inside of the church, inside of your organization. And if you do not correct that and you go along with that, knowing it, then you are equally as guilty as he is, and you might as well be sleeping with those women because God's going to judge you the same way. He's going to say, I know you not, because you knew to do right. You knew to go to him. You knew to make a comment. If you go to him and you address that, he still doesn't change his ways. You go get somebody else, elder, whomever, and you go back and you talk to him again. And then after that, there's another protocol you go back in. And if they don't change their ways, you are to leave that area because you're no longer operating under the hospice of what, you know, you obey those who have rule over you. You are now operating on a demonic situation. And if you stay in that, you are equally guilty because you are aware of it and you know about it. And yet you remained a coward and did nothing. And God doesn't look kindly on people who turn their own sheep. They know I'm not right.
So how does that differ from being like David had an assignment from God to do, and he still has his followers? So how is that different?
Because we understand that David had a very repentant heart. See, when we say we put on the armor of God, I'm sorry, y'all, forgive me. I don't even take up this time. I don't even give a presentation. When we put on the armor of God, what does that mean? When you put on the armor of God, that means, guess what? You're going to go to war. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be things coming at you. You got to be ready for any and everything. And that is what he said. He said we didn't have a life that wouldn't have tribulations and trials and things. That's why I said put on the full armor, because you got to be ready for battle, for war, for whatever. Because we don't fight against physical things. We fight against principalities. So if you understand that, the man was under great, great distress. Anybody who is a servant and a doer of the word, who is put in position, the enemy is coming at you full force. He went after Jesus in the garden. Amen. Do this. Turn this rock into bread. But aren't you thirsty? He went after the, he knew who Jesus was, and he still went after it. So why do you think that will come after us? We got to be prepared for that. When you step into these callings, you better be fully prepared. You can't be in that pussyfoot around thinking that you're going to get somewhere and get some money and get over people. Because let me tell you, when that enemy swings that sword at you, ooh, it ain't no easy thing. You can't have no fear, because when it comes at you, it's coming. So we got to make sure our calling is correct. Because if you ain't got no stand up, if you can't stand firm on your calling, you better get out the way. Because the enemy will run you over, spit you out, put you out there to hang, and show everybody, look, y'all thought he was something. He ain't nothing. Look at that, crying like a baby. I'm taking everything from you. The same person that put you up on high, the evil one, is the same person that will bring you down to the bottom and put you on a cross and hang you up there and not laugh at him. Then you down off that cross.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. We'll be back to you in about 5 minutes to close this out. Candlestick, I want to bring you in here for a moment and ask a question. We've heard a lot tonight on tonight's show with the mistakes that, even if they are mistakes or they were intentional, I don't think a lot of things are mistakes. But I just want to ask, can any of us, if somebody comes to you and you have aught with your brother or your sister, and you go to them to point out their flaw that you think you see, sometimes that you think you see or think you even know. And what we don't realize is we got some mess in our own closet that we haven't even thought about, because science and psychology tells us there are three ways in which we are viewed: the way we see ourselves, the way others see us, and the way we are. And most of us are blind to seeing ourselves. And then we're also equally blind to knowing who we are. So other people have seen us, but can anybody go out here and say, oh, David was horrible? I mean, I'm sure we all do, because he put that man, you know, Moses did something. He killed somebody. You know, then we look at Abraham, listened to his wife, and had Sarah told him, go have a baby with the mistress. You know, he even lied and told us he was his sister. None of God. But can we go out there and say, Abraham, you were wrong? When we got some mess going on in our, it ain't just in the closet. It's in the kitchen, it's in the living room, it's in the bedroom, the three guest rooms. Talk to me, Candlestick.
I don't think that we can point fingers at anybody, because the difference is that we're all saved by grace. But I do believe when we see a brother or a sister, and I have to say that I would be such a person going
working hard because the Bible tells us that we are our brother's keepers, you know, to a degree. But yes, I would speak with one of my brothers and sisters. I saw that they were out there doing something publicly, and they came in the name of Christ, and they were totally wrong.
So even though, and since I got you on the account of sin, even though at the time you were having these lustful thoughts about someone else outside your marriage, you think you qualify to actually go and get the mote out of somebody else's eye without getting the beam out of your own eye? I'm just asking a question.
Yeah, that's because during that time, I had no one to talk to anybody because I was going through my own message. So that's what I mean by being self-righteous.
Right.
Well, I know that I am willingly, I know that I am going to do something that is wrong. I would never approach anybody. Because who was me and who was I to say something to somebody else? But when I know that within my, my boundary, in my mind, or whatever, but you put it in it, like I know that there are things that are hard to do than ourselves. But as long as I know that I am not doing anything wrong that I know of, I feel okay going to my brother. But if I am in that same boat with them, oh no, I can't confront them. Who am I to do that?
We're gonna have to stand by. I'm just gonna take two more comments because they flooded us here, and we got about 5 minutes. So, Benjamin Block, stand by. We'll get to you. Just 1 second, Mimi. I want to bring in here this comment here. We're taking it very briefly, you all. This female, she writes and she says, "Unfortunately, I fell in love with a known playboy who worked on the job with me. I was lonely and vulnerable because my husband was not giving me any attention. I knew this playboy had several women and still was lured into his web. Now I can't even help myself because all I think about is him. Even when my husband is intimate with me, I'm thinking of him. Help me somebody." Mimi, what do you think?
Oh, I think that the husband possibly knows that he,
with
somebody else, and maybe they can work
for it
together.
Mimi, are you hearing
it? I'm hearing it.
To tell her. And so go.
She has to be. You know, and let her husband, that it'll be up to her husband if he wants to stay in marriage. She has already found their marriage.
Wow. Okay, we're going to certainly ask this thing. But yeah, I got to bring in here on this one, Jay. Jay, so she's going to tell her husband that she's thinking about another man when they're intimate. And he's a lone playboy. Jay? Me said, tell her husband. I got to take a pill after this show. Later found out and divorced her, and it caused me financial ruin. I'm 49 years old and now living with my aunt and can barely keep a job as the woman I got fired for inappropriate behavior on the job. And yes, I was also married at the time, and my wife also found out and left me. Poor guy. So what do you say to that? Darren D, we start with you.
Do you feel sorry for him?
No.
Wow. So it's really bad to fall in love with somebody that you should never fall in love with in the first place. Is that what you're saying, Darren?
Absolutely.
Okay. Then let's go hear Sparkles. Sparkles, before we go to Benny's on the Block, what do you think, Sparkles? I mean, they both of their spouses just left them. Please, Marcus, you made me laugh. Why are we laughing at people's misfortune? Why do we do that? Comes on real quick. Demon Slayer, let's start with you. Demon Slayer, just 12 seconds or less. Why is it bad to fall in love with the wrong person when we never should have fallen in love with them? Why is it so bad? Just 12 seconds, please.
I just
said,
sometimes when the wrong reasons that you don't know enough.
Okay.
You just got to really do some research on people now.
Okay, Miss Jay. All right, Miss Jay, quickly here, 12 seconds or less. Why is it bad to fall in love with the wrong person? And just give us a couple of signs, Miss Day.
Because you're being that with heartache, you know, and signs of falling in love with the wrong person, they do things that you don't enjoy doing, the idea of a life that you don't like, you don't know nothing about. And that's how you know you're the wrong person. You don't know nothing about just in love with you say.
All right, Mimi, why is it so bad to fall in love with the wrong person?
Because you can get hurt. And you have to listen to wisdom over your heart in a situation like that. But it's not good.
All right, candlesticks, why is it so bad to fall in love with the wrong person?
I agree with that. Maybe because you want to get hurt. It's just like this for you, physically, mentally, or emotionally.
We can pass the role quickly here. Why is it bad falling in love with the wrong person? Meaning, that's what
it is. Because of the consequences that comes about by making bad decisions.
All right, Darren D, why is it so bad falling in love with the wrong person?
You're going to end up being hurt in the long run. If that's just to avoid any kind of situation in that setup.
Okay, Sparkles, and then we'll go to Benny from the Block. Sparkles, why it's so bad to fall in love with the wrong person?
Well, you can't name anybody else's business, but basically, you need to actually be speaking with what God wants and not after your own fleshly desires.
Wow. Beautiful. All beautifully stated tonight, you all. We're out of time, but we're going to go to Benny from the Block to close this out. Benny from the Block, thank you.
Good evening, and I just want to 15 seconds to say this. We don't live under condemnation of life, and we don't live under the Hispanic culture's life. We have only been forgiven before we ever even done the things that we've done. Everybody, everything we've talked about, those people have already been forgiven because when he died for the past, the present, and the future. That means you've already been covered, and you only have one thing to do. Just ask for forgiveness. Get up, pick your stuff up, and move on. If you make a mistake, get up, pick yourself up, ask for forgiveness, and move on, and live the life you're supposed to live. No one's judging anybody on what they did because only you know what's in your heart, and only you can go to him because we don't need a piece of pastor, or we don't have to go and get no lambs and cut blood and all that kind of stuff. We can go directly to the Father and say, Father, forgive me. I made a mistake. And he says he will forgive you. So with that being said, let me go right into the show. Everybody plays a fool sometimes. There's also another song called Love TKO. And so we're talking about what happens when you fall in love with a person that you should not be in love with. We are love. We
we were designed to love one another. That's why it's so easy for a lot of people to fall madly in love with someone when they don't truly understand love. You have to know when you say these words, I am loved and I am loved. You have to know what that means when it resonates in your spirit. When you say that I am loved and I am loved, there should be something in you that gets a response. You should feel good about what you just said. You should know that you are loved and you should know that you are valued because you are loved. Which means that you're already loved. You don't need to go find love. Love's going to find you because it already exists in you. So when we fall in love with people, what we're falling in is an illusion about what we know about them. And that when the person tells us a lie about their lives, their situations, and what they're doing on, we are more interested in believing the knowledge of the lie than we are understanding what the lie is. Now, as we get older, we get wiser. Some people are born wise. But when you get wise, because there's a difference between knowledge and truth. The difference between knowledge and truth is wisdom and discernment. Women have always had a natural intuition about it. Men have it too, but just don't exercise it. The point of the matter is, you fall in love with someone, you have this idea, this fantasy, this vision about what you really want your life to be like with that person. And then you commit in a physical action with that person. And if you commit with that person in a physical action, that means there's a grappling on you. Back in the days when you slept with a man or a woman, that person was considered your wife or your husband. Period. There was no marriage. There was no formal papers. There was no person standing up for you with a wedding dress. That was your wife. Period. We don't honor that anymore. So that's why we are so free flow to just kind of go with whomever we want to. No condemnation on that. That is a part of life. That is a part of what you do in life. That is why we were designed to love one another. Yes, they have a scripture that says you should not fornicate with people who are not your wife or your spouse. But the moment you do that, it becomes your wife and spouse. So with that being said, we are to honor ourselves by loving ourselves. And the more we love ourselves, the more we honor ourselves, the more we honor ourselves, the more we allow our partnerships with other people to be not based on just what we feel and what we think and our emotions, we line up with what is right and what is true, that what we've been taught and what we are looking for, so that we can find people that mimic that, not imitate that. So when we fall in love with people who give us falsehoods, we'll figure it out, run fast for the mountain, because if you don't, the mountain's going to fall on you. So allow yourself to just believe. We all have prodigal signs and prodigal moments with our own lives. We turn away from that which we know is right. We run out there and we do what we want to, and we find ourselves in a pig pen with the hogs, and we're saying, my father's servant ate better than we did. When you see yourself in a bad situation with something crazy, even though the sex is great, the love is great, the stuff, the toys that they give you are great, we love it, we want to have it because we are those types of people. But once you find out it ain't right, run back to your father and your mother and say, Daddy, I had a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter. I want to come back home. Get yourself cleaned up, move forward, and learn that your life is a value. And value that love, because that love is who you are. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Benny from Block. Good closing. We're out of time now. We thank you all for the extended time and our producers. Tomorrow night's topic, if you're joining us, is what do you think God's perspective is on being in love with someone whom you should not have been in love with? We're talking about God's perspective tomorrow night. What do you think God's perspective is on that? Listen, thank you all for the extended time. We certainly have enjoyed all the commentary that's come through here tonight. And once again, we look forward to you all being here tomorrow night. If you choose to bypass tomorrow night's program, we'll be back next Thursday for the Dr. Jeff Walker Show. Until then, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone.
Good night, good night, good night. Great closing.